Willie McGinnis is with us. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
I am well. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Great, thanks. When we heard you on NFL Network talking about Rob Gronkowski, both of us said the same thing. Willie McGinnis doesn't just throw stuff up against the wall to see what sticks or not. So we put a lot of import in your theory about Rob Gronkowski and how he might handle the upcoming season. Is this just your gut feeling, or are you hearing stuff?
It's just a feeling. I mean, I've talked to people, but, you know, there's nothing concrete about Rob's decision. I think that anytime you go through a grueling season, a physical season, a long season for that matter, which, you know, going to the Super Bowl and winning and, you know, and you playing in the trenches, man, you contemplate a lot of different things. You know, he's done a lot. He's a multi-champion. When guys tackle him, you know, what they do. They go at his legs, his knees. It's physical. They gang tackle. It's a physical sport, especially for his position. He did a lot of blocking, you know, in the midst of this season. So conversations kind of go back and forth, and thoughts go back and forth with players like that. And, you know, me just being around and talking and seeing it, it's like, I just think he's not going to make a quick decision on coming back. I think he's going to take a lot of time, you know. And I think players, when you get to a certain point and you've achieved a certain level of accomplishments and your body's, you know, your body's taking a beating, sometimes you take your time. And, you know, you're supposed to. You know, when you get to a certain point in your career, you're supposed to.
Now, do you think if, in fact, he, you know, sat out of training camp or didn't go to training camp and didn't play the first several weeks of the season, is that something you think Bill Belichick would be open to?
I think so. I think Bill understands Rob. I think he understands, you know, what he's been through. I mean, it's tough to say, hey, go ahead and sit out games and not be available. I know Bill. You know, he wants everybody to be accountable. He wants everybody to be there working or whatever. But, you know, I just think special players, you get, you know, there's special special things you may carve out or you may have conversations. Now, I'm not saying like this is the thing. Hey, let's just go sit out, miss 8 weeks of the season and then come back. I'm not saying, you know, nobody told me that, period. Mm-hmm. Nobody told me that's the plan or whatever. I'm just thinking in my head, like, if you can't figure it out, and you're not in a rush to just get out there, definitely you probably will sit out training camp. You know, these are a lot of players that get to that. Or being a vet, you may, you know, in that conversation with your coaches or whatever, they may say, we're going to take care of you. And you might not have to go through that. Just make sure you're in shape, make sure you're ready. When you get to a certain point, you know players are going to be physical. They're going to know their assignment. The timing is going to be there. You've been there your whole career with Tommy. So you're in a certain position to do certain things. And I'm not saying, you know, Belichick is going to allow anything like that to happen. I'm just saying there's certain scenarios where you got to work things out with certain players.
It would almost seem under the scenario that you theorize here, he would announce his retirement, right? He'd say, listen, I've had a great run, a great career. I'm out. But then he'd get that itch, that urge somewhere during the season to kind of get back into it.
We all do. I mean, we all get to that point. Even when I retired my first year, I was out. I was still training like I was about to go play in the game. You know, I just couldn't get out of the routine. I still had the itch. My body was feeling great. And then when he got to a certain part of the season, like mentally, I was like, okay, I would have to be in a different mindset, you know. And I know I'm not I'm in shape, but I'm not in football shape. So you still got to allow your time, your body enough time to get in football shape. It's not easy. It's not just saying, okay, I'm in great shape. I'm running good. I feel good. I'm lifting good. Football shape is totally different. So you got to allow a certain amount of time to do that once you get back in, you know, in pads and in the hitting and the certain movements and the twerking and all that stuff of your body. And the thing that he has to endure as far as the hits he's going to take. So, it's different scenarios. I'm just saying that we all get to a certain point where you're thinking, and I don't, like I said, again, I don't think he's going to rush his decision. He didn't do it the year before. He took some time. and he made a decision. I don't think he's going to do it this year. But if you get to a point where you're feeling good and you want to go out there and you miss the game and you're in shape to play the game, I think you can make a decision at that point. And I think both sides have to be on the same page in order to do that.
How do you think his teammates would view his decision and the timeline and everything else? Would they just be happy to have him whenever he decides to potentially return? Or would they look at it like, hey, we were here for training camp, we were here all season, we were committed for the year? How do you think they would look at it?
Well, I mean, they've played games without Rob, and I think they understand how to win. And you know, that's the type of locker room where they hold everybody accountable. And nobody's thrusted over anybody. Everybody is on the same level, so to say, when it comes to football in the eyes of teammates and coaches. Now, we know that's not true. There's other, there's players in that locker room that are on different levels, of course. But in saying that, that's why this team is so close. Everybody gets treated the same. Everybody treats each other the same. But in understanding that if you can get, one of your players for a substantial amount of time to come out and perform and play, it's going to help the team. Then I think those talks happen. Guys understand that. I mean, they get it.
Just a few minutes ago, the Patriots made official the acquisition of Michael Bennett, and they announced the trade. Now, Michael Bennett, when he played for Greg Schiano in Tampa, had some very critical things to say about him. We think Greg Schiano is going to be the defensive coordinator here, although that hasn't been announced as yet. How do you think this is all going to work out?
Well, I think Bill Belichick is the head coach, and he's under the direction of, Greg is under the direction of Bill. And I think you have a system in place. I think you have a culture in place, which I think they were trying to figure out in Tampa at the time. What is the culture? Greg was a first-time head coach there. And he was trying to figure out, how do I take certain things from different coaches that I've learned or I've worked with and incorporate it in one system. And maybe, he got off on the wrong foot. I mean, I know Michael Bennett was the only player that, wasn't on board of some of the things that was going on there. But you live and you learn. I think all coaches have to evolve like the players do. And if you're around the game, you see the game change. You see these players change. They react different. They buy in differently. You got to figure out how to get them to buy in. They digest information differently. So you got to understand that sometimes the old school methods or whatever's going on doesn't really work with these guys. You got to tweak your system as well, and the way you communicate with these men. So I think Belichick has mastered that across the board. So if you're coming on his staff, then you're going to adapt to what's going on there and how he's teaching and how things have been moving for the last 15-plus years.
Do you think,
on board with that.
Do you think Bennett will be a good fit here, both on and off the field?
Absolutely. I think he loves being in a structured environment where everybody gets equally treated. He will have respect because he's earned it. And I think all the questions you'll have will be answered when you have that first initial meeting with Bill and the staff. I think once you go into that building, everything's laid out on the table. There's no surprises at all. That's for every free agent that's ever walked through those doors. There's an expectation. There's a way that we do things there. Everybody's held accountable. This is the way we practice, prepare, and, it's team versus individualism. Now, you can have your own personality and be yourself, but it's always team first. We're always going to do what's best for the team. So I think those things are laid out for all players, from Vrabel, to say all the different guys that's come in and been a part of that organization. Corey Dillon, guys that thought, had character issues, who was a great teammate. Randy Moss, for that matter. People come in and they understand, and they get on board, and they win, and they have a good time while they do it.
As a former NFL player, but now an analyst, do you sit there and shake your head at the contracts being given out on the first day of free agency in the NFL?
Let me tell you, I started working out like I was about to get back in the league. Man, it's incredible what these guys are signing for, man. It's great how our league, you know, has evolved. And, you know, the share revenue going to the players, which, you know, they definitely deserve it. And, you know, now the market, I mean, the only difference, in my opinion, is now the market dictates what you get paid versus production. Back in the day, your production was pretty much the only thing that dictated how much you got paid. You had to produce. You had to have big consistent years. You had to play at a certain level. You had to reach certain incentives and goals or whatever. Now, in certain positions, players can drive up the market and set the market just by, for one, the top players got to be good, of course, but they drive the market. And once the market's set at a certain number, guys are going to fit in, you know, between those numbers. And, you know, I joke with guys that are retired or certain guys now that are playing. I said, you don't have to be great anymore to get a huge contract. You just got to be consistent and be available.
Now, Trey Flowers signed a huge contract with the Detroit Lions. He's one of the highest paid defensive players in the league now. What did you think of the signing, and do you think he'll be able to live up to that money?
I think it was good for him. I think he's earned it. I think he was a good locker room guy. He was part of that new culture that's there in New England. You know, you talk about his work ethic, being the first in, last out, working his butt off on the field. Maybe didn't have the great numbers everybody was looking for, but you could still be an impact player and not always have the numbers. But in the big games, he played big. And I think when you're looking to change a culture, when you're looking to bring somebody in to show the way, I think he's a great example of that. And I know Detroit needs more guys like that, and that's what Matt Patricia's trying to build in Detroit. So, you know, we'll see if he's worth the money. You know, guys get paid based on their body of work. And potentially what they're going to do the next 4 to 5 years, you know, whatever his contract, the length of his contract is. But you get that contract because of what you bring. And Patricia coached him for 3 years, so he understands what kind of man he is, his work ethic, and how all those things will play out. So there's a lot of guys, man, that get paid these huge contracts and they don't live up to them. And that's why a lot of the money's not guaranteed on the back end. So we'll see. I can't predict that, but I can say he's earned the right to get paid, you know, a healthy contract like he has because he's what he's done, and he's a champion. So, you know, when you're a champion, man, that drives up, that drives those numbers way up.
As we sit here right now, the New England Patriots have one coach left on the defensive staff. His name is Steve Belichick. That's the only defensive coach on the staff at the moment. You ever get an urge to put a whistle around your neck?
You know, I joke with Belichick about that, man. Before when Brian was leaving, I was like, "All right, you ready for me to come in and take over the defense?" You know, it's a sacrifice. Coaches spend a lot more time. Well, those coaches in that building spend a lot more time than the players do. And I spent so many years away from my family and my kids. You know, I was thinking, I get the itch. I'm around kids. I coach now. I help out. I train. You know, you think about it. Some of those things go through your head. But, you know, it's a big sacrifice. It's something that you would have to be all in on. You can't just, you know, stick a toe in the water and do it halfway. So anything that I'm dedicated to doing, I do it all. I go 100% and I do it all in. And I don't want to let not myself down, but anybody else down. So those opportunities have come up in different places, and different coaches have talked to me about it. But, you know, I'm happy at my NFL network family right now. I've been there for years. I'm still playing the game without putting on pads and being close to the game and having relationships, players, coaches, and GM, and be able to talk the game and break the game down. So it's a good fit for me right now, but who knows what the future may hold later.
Willie, we always appreciate the time. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, thank you, guys.